Welcome to episode 11 of Big and Unconvincing, a pop culture podcast. I am your host, Wim. Thank you for listening again. Hope you enjoyed your summer as we enter fall. And to all my Aussie friends listening, summer's almost here. So I'll be a bit busier with the candle activity, so I don't know when new episodes will drop, but you know, I kind of also want to add a co-host too. So if you're interested and want to give it a shot, want to join me, let me know. I just want to make a schedule and kind of keep to it. And I think if I have somebody else, I know it will kind of motivate me to sit down and keep a schedule and stick to it. So send it on Twitter. You can do at the whim or email me at vagueanduncomvincing@gmail.com. I also plan on having some guests upcoming. My sister and my brother-in-law are both avid book readers, and they, you know, read more books in 2 weeks than I do in a year. So I want to have them on, and we can talk about different books. You know, when I have a question about books, he's the person I ask. I asked my brother-in-law. I was over at their house about a week ago, and we had a good hour talk about Jack Ryan and the character in the books, novels, movies, everywhere. And so I wish I had the mic with me. It was awesome. And but we'll get back to Jack a little later, and hopefully we'll have them on the show. Now, I do have a few topics to discuss this show, some podcast news, some movie news, some TV, all the usual. Try to keep this pop culture so we get anything that's popular, kind of dive in. I actually stopped listening to the majority of Star Wars podcasts as I kind of feel as if they kind of veered too far away from the original intention, which is discussing Star Wars. So if you have any others that you dig, non-Star Wars, kind of send them to me. I might check them out. I'm interested in listening to new stuff. One of the ones I listen to religiously, other than Kevin Smith ones, is a show called Every Little Thing. Recently, they've been getting emails and voicemails asking a myriad of different questions, and they go about answering them. One was such about pirates, like, do they talk, say, arr, and all that stuff. And another one about escape exits and tunnels. And there was one about flamingos. And if I could suggest any, it would be that one. I never know what the topic is going to be or what direction the questions are going. But I always learn something new from each episode. So did you know that flamingos can drink boiling water? You do now. I like true crime stuff, so I think I said this before in a previous episode, but if you've never listened to season one of Serial, you really need to do that, because season three is starting in a couple of weeks. It's, I think, the 24th of September it starts. I also listen to EOS 10. Quirky little sci-fi podcast, only two seasons. They're currently running their third. They're about three episodes in on the third season. And it only has about eight episodes, and they're only about a half an hour each. So it goes by quickly, and it's easy to catch up, and it's fun stuff. It's a nice little podcast. Another one I've been listening to is called Dream Gun Film Reads. It's a podcast out of Ireland. What they do is they rewrite movie scripts and they add comical junk and then make an acting troupe kind of cold read them. So really funny stuff. So like they'll mess up their lines and everything and say things wrong just because they haven't read the script before. They're cold reading it as they go. They did an episode on the Back to the Future where they rewrote it and add all this comedy stuff and different stuff in there, and it was my favorite so far. So if and since you're listening to this, you dig podcasts, so listen and get those cogs in your brain moving. So I'll start off with recapping some Star Wars news. How about that? Solo comes out on digital on the Friday the 14th. I'm taping this on Wednesday, so Friday should come out. Love the movie. Already pre-ordered, so I'm set to watch it again. They're going to have some deleted scenes, so hopefully we'll see some Lord Miller stuff. I like the movie the way it is. I don't think it needs to change, but you know, color me interested. I'd like to see what they had going on before they got the boot. Ryan Johnson also confirmed he is still working on his trilogy after a few fake outlets initially said that he was out, but he's not. He's still working on it. I know that I'm glad to hear that. I know that some people, Michael, are not thrilled with The Last Jedi, but you know, he took some bold steps, so I want to see where he goes with it, if he continues taking those big news and our big steps to further plot along and go in areas we just didn't quite know were going to happen. Plus, more Star Wars is good, so that's not a bad thing. J.J. Abrams cast a slew of new actors, including Dominic Monaghan from Lost and Lord of the Rings, Kerry Russell, and Matt Smith. I hope Matt plays a doctor. That would be cool. Let's make him a doctor. The other main point was they announced using old footage they have a resolution to Leia's character. I know J.J.'s passion for Star Wars and the respect he had for Carrie, so this is one aspect I'm confident about will get resolved in the best possible way they could. I know the resolution had to come. They probably finished that first before they started with the story, and then they moved on from there. So I think that'll happen probably early in the film, and then they'll go moving forward with that. All right, on to other news. For DC, catching up, the Joker movie. I don't care if it's canon or not. I just want to see it. There's so much going on that it hooked me, but I hope they're just not overdoing it with the cast, people leaving, people staying. Those involved, Joaquin Phoenix. The cast looks good. I'm interested. I want to see it. It's got me hooked. So Aquaman comes out soon. I forgot that Nicole Kidman was in it. And you know me and my love for redheads. This will be my ultimate film. You know, speaking of redheads also, Ruby Rose will be playing Batwoman on the Arrow Network, and they're going to give her own show at some point, I believe. She just better be a redhead. I don't care. I hope the character stays true to the comics. Like, I guess she's a lesbian in the comics, too. So, but as long as she's a redhead, I'm good. Let's, you know, have a good story. It's also been reported by a few outlets of The Hollywood Reporter being one of them that Henry Cavill is out as Superman. And then he weird tweeted something out that kind of seemed like he was refuting it, but kind of not. I'm not sure what it is, but, you know, I think he's a great Superman. It'd be a shame if he left. You know, same with Affleck as Batman. But nothing formally has been announced as of the recording of this episode, but I hope he stays. And I never did talk about the last episode of Krypton, which, you know, the ending was brilliant. It was kind of a slow burn leading up to it, and I was kind of like doing stuff in the background as I was watching it. And, you know, that final episode I was in, you know, I paid full attention to that, and it was really cool. So I'm not going to ruin it, but if you didn't see it, you know, and you can go back and see it, yeah, do it. It was worth it. It was good episode. For Marvel, I watched Luke Cage, the new season of Luke Cage, which was very good. And to me, the music is what kind of makes this program almost like a character itself. You know, it adds a richness to it. Plus, I love jazz, so it blends in well with it. Music, the story, everything goes well together. It's a well-run show. Iron Fist just dropped last week, and you know, who knows when I'll watch that. Season one just didn't do it for me too much, so I don't imagine season two will fly high too well or go over too well, but eventually I think I'll get to it. Marvel did drop a trailer for season 3 of Daredevil, which is my favorite of all the Marvel shows on Netflix. Also, a few months ago, they filmed scenes from season 2 of The Punisher right behind my office building in Albany. It was quite interesting. It was cool stuff. I don't know if Albany is actually going to play a role in the film, in the series, or they'll kind of make it look like it's just, you know, parts of New York City. But since it takes place in New York, it could be a reason why he comes up to the Capitol. It could work. It could happen. Last action movie that I filmed in Albany, which kind of in the same area, was Salt with Angelina Jolie. But they just added some federal buildings around it, and they said it was Washington, D.C., but it was really Albany. But my office is actually should be in some of the shots, because they filmed the car chase and a couple of crash scenes, and they had the hoist and the levels right behind my building. So if they turn the camera at it at some point, it might be them. They might erase the insurance company name, but other than that, it should be in there. In video game realm, movie adaptation. At San Diego Comic-Con, Nathan Fillion released a short video of him playing Nathan Drake, which is a character in the Uncharted video game series on PlayStation. If you have a PlayStation and you played it. I don't believe this was studio. I think just he made it. And Stephen Lang from Avatar. I best remember him as General Stonewall Jackson in Gods and Generals, but he was in it. It was fantastic. The only problem I have is that Nathan Drake in the video games, he's like in his late 20s, maybe early 30s, and Fillion's older than me. He's pushing 50, so I'm watching, I'm like, he's a little old to do this, but I don't know, they could figure it out, and they could probably come up with a rational explanation of how he's older and maybe flashbacks to when he's younger and stuff like that. It's fine. They could just adjust the character to have him be that age. I mean, just going straight out and saying, Nathan Drake was kind of weird, but, certainly they could figure it out. It just shows you he'd make a good Indiana Jones, I think that would be a viable use of that character. I mean, he could even... It doesn't have to be Indiana Jones, but he could be an Indiana Jones type, huh? You listening, Lucasfilm, huh? Give me a call. Call me. One of my favorite books is Dune. So I did a lot of rewatching, and I started revisiting the books. I read the original, two of Frank Herbert's sequel books, Children of Dune and some other Dune. And some of the prequel books. I think I read all the prequel books by Kevin Anderson and Brian Herbert. But it was a long time ago. It was, I would say 15, 16 years ago that I read those. Maybe even longer than that. I read them when they first came out. But I stopped after Children of Dune reading the originals. But just because I kind of got bored with it, but I read some reviews that the book after that, God Emperor Dune, was kind of the best sequel, so I just recently started reading that. I'm a little ways through it, and what led me to that was they have started making a new movie. They're working on a new feature with Denis Villeneuve, who directed Blade Runner 2049. So they announced two cast members so far, Rebecca Ferguson from the Mission Impossible series and The Greatest Showman. She was in that movie. And she will play the Lady Jessica. And Timothy Chalamet, I hope I said his name right, from Lady Bird and Interstellar, will be playing Paul Atreides. Now, if you don't know the story, a quick recap. It takes place about 10,000 years in the future. The human race was enslaved by computers or robots, but arose up and defeated them in what they called the Butlerian Jihad. Afterwards, all thinking machines were banned, And then melange, a spice that allows people to live longer, kind of creates human supercomputers, also known as like Mentats. And there's it has a witch community kind of type of thing, like Jedi type of thing, but they're strictly women. And that's the Bene Gesserit. And most importantly, the spice, large amounts of the spice by very old people have figured out how to travel through space. And they don't do it by, like, standard spaceships. They fold it. It's called, you know, folding space. But the book does a better job describing it. And it, the spice is the most important thing. Basically, what it comes down to is who controls the spice controls the universe. And it's only found on one planet, which is Arrakis, commonly known as Dune. And, the future kind of turned a little feudal, which royal houses kind of, like, fight with each other. But ultimately, the power is behind the spice. So I went back and did some rewatches of the 84 movie by David Lynch and the 2000 sci-fi miniseries. I have that on DVD, both of which did not age very well, let me tell you. I have a fond memory of the 2000 series, but when I rewatched it, it did not age well at all. It was quite bad. You could tell that they're walking on a dune planet, but you could see like curtains behind them where it's supposed to be a dune in a desert planet, and you just see curtains. I saw curtains, so I mean, it was just like, that was not good. The special effects were just not that special, and they were, they rival those from the 84 movie, and the 84 movie is just bad. It's hard to believe that original Dune movie came out around the same time as Return of the Jedi, look at the two of the, compare and contrast those two final products on that, it's bad. Toto did the score for the 84 version of that, David Lynch's, which I own that, I listened to that too, and kind of like played that through my ears, which I really do like that. I'm a fan of Toto, so it's all good. Hold the line. Let's do it. I also watched a documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune. This is a documentary about the director Alejandro Jodorowsky. He's French, I believe. And his attempt to make Dune in the early 70s. What he did was he kind of storyboarded everything out and tried to sell it to different outlets or different movie companies to try to get it made. The problem is he wanted to make a 17-hour movie, so it would never get off the ground. He was kind of a visionary in his type of directing too. If you watch a movie he did called El Topo, I had watched it maybe a week ago when I was over at Jeff's house. Jeff and I had watched El Topo, and you could see that the directing style is what Tarantino does now. It's just his shots. He just has these weird characters. Like, he had these two characters. One was a guy with no arms, and another was a guy with no legs. So the guy with no arms had him like the guy with no legs on as a backpack. So he made one man out of two men, and it is strange. And just the scene setup and the direction style, you could tell that's where Tarantino got all his stuff from. That was really, cool. So, he was trying to make a 17-hour movie, and he also had some really weird changes, too. He had, Duke Leto, which is Paul Atreides, the main character's father. He had him as a eunuch. So, he was, conceived by osmosis type of thing, and the melange, which is the spice that's in the sand that they harvest, he had it as this like a blue moss type of thing, and I know that when they were talking about doing this, and Frank Herbert was just like not happy with any of those changes, so he was not on board with that. But the images they showed were amazing. I mean, he storyboarded the whole 17-hour movie, and he had them all, and he, like, rolled them all out. It was, like, these great shots you'd seen in Star Wars and all these visionary directing techniques that he was going to do. I mean, it looked really good, you know. The documentary does a really good job of selling you on the movie, you know, so... yeah, for myself, I just want a good Dune movie. I want a good adaptation of it. I thought it was in 2000, and I kind of, like, slept on that and revisited and saying, eh, this ain't that good. So, as long as you don't have Sting and the metal Speedo, I think we'll be good. You know, a good version is out there. It just hasn't been made yet. So, hopes are good for that. But speaking of good versions... why don't we scroll back to Jack Ryan? I watched that on Amazon in like two nights, right away. If I hadn't started at 10 p.m. at night, I probably would have watched it all in the same evening, in one sitting. It was that good. I really, really held true to the character of Jack Ryan. You know, in my eyes, he should be a little nerdy, yet, you know, he was a Marine, so he should also be a little tough, too. So, and John Krasinski just nailed it. I mean, he, you know, he had that part perfectly. That's how I envisioned the character. Bunk from The Wire. I apologize, I don't remember his name. I didn't write it down. But he played Admiral Greer, and his character was expanded in a huge way. So much more depth. I have no doubt they're going to make more of these. It was just that good. Another Clancy book that I really like was Rainbow Six. I hope they get to that at some point. You know, I want Ding and Mr. Clark to get shuffled in, as they were great characters too. So there's so many places that can go. Ultimately, Jack Ryan becomes president. So, I mean, it's got a long ways to go to get to that part, but that's how he goes. I was a fan of all the movies. I was a fan of them. So none of them disappointed me, but the show just feels on a different level. It's just there. It's just on a higher level than the other ones. It was just well done, well written, well acted. Everything was good on it. Good stuff. But, you know, if we want to roll back to the subject of bad movies, for this week, I'm going to do a top five. My top five is top five bad movies that I love. Now, I only pick movies that I own in digital, so I had a smaller list to work with. So, keep that in mind when I'm going through. Number five, I already talked about it. Might as well add it. It's Dune. It's, you know, bad acting. Sting was bad. Harkonnen, there's the Jenny Jesuit witch when she goes, "Get out of my mind." It's just hysterical. I love it. It's good stuff. Number four is The Running Man. Gotta have a Schwarzenegger movie in there. It was either Total Recall or The Running Man, but The Running Man to me is a better flick. I remember paying $1 to see that movie. Well, you know, in the theater, it was like they had $1 theater in Niskayuna, you know, which is a little town a little north of Albany. It's not there anymore, but it was a dollar theater, and you pay a buck. That's where I saw The Running Man. Number three, I'll pick a recent one, and actually one I kind of talked a little referred to. It's Batman versus Superman. I love it. People hate it. I still love it. Number two, it's Flash Gordon. In a film loaded with overacting, Brian Blessed takes Hawkman to levels previously unseen by overacting, only to be overtaken in the future by Nick Cage. That's it. Hawkman flying blind on a rocket cycle. Come on, it's a great movie. I love it, even though it's bad. Now for number one, I'm not sure if this is to be considered a bad movie, but Kurt Russell and Harry Dean Stanton are just fantastic. Everybody else is kind of really bad. That's right. It's Escape from New York. Donald Pleasence. Dude, reel it in, man. That was like I don't know where this lands on other people's list, but it's a movie I love. So it's my A number one. Yes, I set that up perfectly. As always, Vague and Unconvincing is sponsored by Stephanie's Country Candles, hand-poured country candles and more. I'm adding two new scents this season, this fall, an apple pumpkin strudel and a little jazzy scent. I think I might call it Night in Tunisia. Might call it Blue Rondo a la Turk. Might look up a couple other jazz names to see what I'm going to call it. It'll be added soon. You'll be able to tell, but it's a nice jazz smoky scent. All our candles are hand-poured by myself or my wife, adding the maximum amount of scent so you can smell them when they're burning. Nothing worse than spending $25 to $30 on a candle and not being able to smell it. I mean, guaranteed, your living room will smell amazing and exactly like what you smell in the jar. You want your house to smell like Christmas this Christmas? Our best-selling Christmas tree candle will turn your entire room into that. That candle alone has kept us in business for over 18-plus years. So visit us online at Stephanie's, Stephanies, countrycandles.com. Also, September is Blood Cancer Awareness Month. Now, as a lymphoma survivor, I see it as appropriate to mention this. The wife and I are also going to do the Light the Night Walk in Albany on October 13th to benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I urge you, if you can, to please donate to my team, as their efforts, research, and treatments saved my life. Hopefully in some way I can pay it forward and save somebody else's. You can visit my page. It's at pages.lightthenight.org/UNY/AlbanyNY18/TheWhim. And I've been retweeting the link out quite often. So just look on my feed and you'll find it. If you're in the Albany area and you want to join us, you can also join the team. Just sign up and register and show up. Obviously love to see you fundraise with it too and raise some money. Or, just donate it. Either way, it's a cause that saved my life. So, I feel obligated to kind of pay it back. So, email the show at vagueandunconvincing@gmail.com. The show Twitter is at unvaguepod. And my personal Twitter is at TheWhim. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/vagueandunconvincing. I thank you again for listening to the show. And until next time, hopefully soon, we will talk to you then. All right? Take care, everyone.